Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, I have a very simple message today. It's a bit of a follow-on from the series we've been doing on faith confession and how important it is, the words that you speak, and how you actually can connect with God's destiny for your life with your mouth and your heart, but believing in your heart and speaking the word of God through your mouth and speaking the positive things that God has for your life, your destiny comes into being. The power of God starts to work through your confession. It's been a tremendous series. There's been, three series so far, three sessions every Sunday, and you can get those on our website. But this morning, a simple message, and it's connected with speaking again, and it's using our voices. And the message is about giving thanks. Just quite a simple thing that I would say is uncomplicated and we can all do. It's something that I believe brings vitality and health into your soul. That if you're a thankful person, your emotional life will be healthy. I know you can thank your way into healing. I've done it myself, in my soul, in my broken, if you have broken emotions. Thanksgiving releases the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you to work through the soul, through your soul, your emotions, so that you actually have a healthy soul. And what's wonderful is that as we trust God and give thanks to the Lord, that power to be healed doesn't come from our circumstances. It actually comes from God, who is our healer. And I believe that as we read in the scriptures, but I believe firmly that Jesus died for the well-being of the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Every part of you, Jesus wants whole and walking in the fullness, in the blessing and the abundant life that he came to give everyone. I believe that thanksgiving can change your relationships. It's changed mine. It's changed my attitude to certain people that I might have a little bit of trouble with. You know, that little friction that sometimes happens. I don't know if you've ever experienced it in any relationship. A little bit of friction. And how thanksgiving can actually transform me towards them. It changes me in my relationships. It changes the quality of my relationships. It also, I believe, is a church-changing vision. What could God do with a thankful people? What could God do with a thankful family? A thankful couple? Thankful children? Thankful grannies? Granddads? Pastors? Servants in the house? Middle-aged? Young? Teenagers? Old? Young? Men? Women? All thankful? Imagine what could happen. And I believe that thanksgiving brings a release of God in our lives. I do know as well, in my own experience, that a dose of complaining, a little bit of fault finding, and a little bit of feeling sorry for myself actually makes me miserable and mean. Has anybody ever taught themselves into misery? Has anybody ever spoken in an unthankful way about people and found that you become very mean towards them? The fruit of that isn't good. And it's definitely not showing Jesus through your life. It's not glorifying Jesus through your life when you're mean and miserable. We're called to be happy and generous. And so I think we need to start with a starting point that we don't do this just because we should, but we do this because we have the power to do it. I think the whole of the Christian life, whenever God says to do something, he says it because we have the power to. And the glorious and amazing life-changing truth is that if anybody received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, They become a new person. The mean and miserable one died. And you've now become a generous, joyful believer. And your nature is the divine nature in you. Christ in you. It's Him in you. Amen. You have a new nature. And that nature is to be thankful. So the new, I'm going to appeal to the new you today. Not what your flesh sometimes wants to do, but the new person has power to live a very thankful life and glorify God with thanksgiving. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And verse 30. Well, we'll start at 31 because I like it. Because it's the word of God, but I really like this. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, so what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Okay, let me unpack this a little bit. First of all, God didn't spare in his giving. And when somebody is sparing, they're holding back something. But God did not spare when he gave his son. So he said, I'm not just going to give you everything. I'm going to give you myself. Giving his son was giving his very self to us. So God didn't spare in giving his son to us. The word goes on to say, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Now that word graciously means under the favor and unearned blessing of God. So God freely gave his son, but he also in favor, because we can't earn the good things. The word tells us that he gives us all things as well. Now that means God's interested in things as well as us receiving Jesus. He's wanting to give us everything in life that we need to enjoy abundant life. A great quality of life. That is what God says he freely gives. And so we could say, God, and it's an absolute fact, you will never find anyone more generous. There will never be anyone like him. That God himself is the most generous person you will ever know. He is faultless in his generosity, and he has withheld nothing in giving himself and wanting to give all things to his people. And so this is the truth, the backdrop about the reason why we are thankful. We're not thanking God because he gives us nothing. We're thanking him because he has given us everything. If you were to sort of pack up all your belongings, tie a bow around them if you could, and say, I would like to give this to your next door neighbor, and say, I just want to give you everything, they would call you generous, and hopefully they would say thanks. Because there would be a reason to thank you. And so we can say, in the light of what Jesus has done on the cross, we have never got a reason not to thank God. We always stand in the light of needing to thank him because of his audacious, amazing generosity. And so that is the reason we thank him. Not because I got a new pair of shoes, although I will as well. But I thank him primarily because the greatest gift has been given to me. And that's the gift of his son, Jesus. And so I will never need to not be thankful, because I never have a reason not to be thankful because of Jesus. And so the backdrop of thanksgiving is God has already given everything. And so we live under this amazing grace and favor. And we live in this relationship with God in which we need to always respond. It's a proper response to what Jesus has done. We are to respond to what Jesus has given, God has given through Jesus. And so this is a response, a proper thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Father, you didn't spare your son, but you gave him, and you want to graciously give now all things. I believe God wants to give me all things I need, that I will never lack anything. Do we have any believers? Good. We never lack it, so we're thankful. We're thankful to God. Now, you know where I'm going. If you know the word, you'll know where I'm going. And it's Thessalonians. It's the first book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And some of you can quote it, but let's do it. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I will never stop giving thanks to you, Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, I'll start with. Be joyful always. Oh, gee, that's it. Okay, let's do that, shall we? I'm not going to preach that today, but shall we just do that? Yeah. So right now, would you be joyful? Because it'll help the preaching. Yeah. It does help the preacher. If you fall asleep and look miserable, it matters. It means you're not receiving, you're not pulling the life out of me. So be joyful always. Pray continually. That's good. So never stop. Don't ever stop praying. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, every single person here today is living with various circumstances. God knows your circumstances. I don't. Not all of them. Praise the Lord. Is all I can say. Praise. So I'm joyful always. But God knows everything. All the variety of circumstances. The good. The difficult. The really tough. The very challenging. Maybe somebody's here who's tested to the core today. God knows that, because he is a God who knows, and he is also a God who cares. So he cares for his own. But you would think that God, who cares, when we're in difficult times, he would say, it's okay, you don't have to give thanks, wouldn't you? That's the natural way of thinking. If things are tough, there's no need to thank. But God's saying, I want my people to create a new culture, that they are thankful because they live by what I've done and what I've promised to do, and not by their current circumstances, which are tough. And so why do we give thanks in all times? Well, primarily because God says to do it, but because it actually releases the power of God to bring us into our destiny, which is a good future, and God has a plan for our lives to bless us and do us good. And so thanksgiving will steer your life into the blessings of God in your future. So give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will. Now, some people say, I'm finding it really difficult to find God's will for my life. I don't know what to do. Should I be a dentist? Should I go there? Should I spend money on that? Or what shall I wear? And normally on a Sunday, it's always, what shall I wear? What shall I wear? But God says there's an overriding will that if you will fulfill this, you will actually find out God's will in other areas of your life. Thanksgiving sets you up for destiny. It sets you up to walk in the will of God in other areas. So if you start giving thanks, it's amazing what doors will open and opportunities will come into your life. Give thanks in all circumstances. When something has gone wrong, when somebody has let you down, when people fail you, when you don't have a job, when you can't see a way, give thanks at all times. And don't forget to give thanks in the good times. It doesn't matter what time or what season of life you're in. This is the will of God for all of us here today. Not one of us is coming outside this word. You see, sometimes my circumstances look nothing like heaven on earth. I can look at my life. There have been seasons in my life where I've gone, so where is heaven on earth then? I can't see it around me. It's not coming. It's not happening. I know that I have heaven, the kingdom of heaven inside, because that's what God has given me. But I look around me and I say, well, where is it? Because I know it's God's will. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So I know God wants kingdom in my life, in my circumstances, on earth. I'm not going to wait to heaven just to get heaven. I've got heaven, but I'm going to see heaven. And see the evidence of heaven on earth. But when it looks nothing like heaven on earth, I'm to give thanks. And I believe that this transforms, first of all, us. And then it changes our circumstances. We will power through problems and circumstances with thanksgiving. You will power through and come out of that. Because you are giving thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you need to power through something? Increase your thanksgiving. Okay, up the game. Begin to raise up the voice or sound of thanks. Now, it's interesting that God says give thanks. So, not think thanks. You know when you give a child a biscuit, what do you say? I know all the mums at the back will, or parents will say, and dads too, what do you say? And actually often before you give it, you hold out the biscuit and you say, what do you say? Not what do you think? Well, I did it in my heart, mum. Well, that's not good enough, is it? Because, you know, in speaking it, actually we're training kids to do the will of God. We're training kids to live and speak out that releases life. It's a life-giving word to say thank you. It releases life to you and it brings life to another person. So giving thanks powers you out of trouble. If I need to understand anything, I need to understand it's a choice and not an emotion. We are all at different times in an emotional way not feeling like saying thank you. But we don't live by our feelings. And because God says this is my will for you, it means I need to make a choice, even in a difficult time. And I have, yeah, I remember living in America. I was called to go and train in a college there, a Bible college in Washington, D.C., and work in a church. And the accommodation that I was given, there wasn't a lot to be thankful for in the natural. And what was shocking was, before I left the shores of England, I thought, the land of the home, the land of the brave, the home of the free, the prosperity land. And I thought, brilliant. Because I'd been living by faith, and, you know, in my early years, God was really training me to believe for everything. And I thought, brilliant, I'll get to America. They'll pay for me. They'll provide for my food. I'll be all right. So I arrived. The accommodation I had, the room I had was challenging. Challenging. The atmosphere of the home, they didn't want me there. So the atmosphere was challenging. The fridge was empty. Challenging. And the fourth challenge, they didn't think it was their call to pay me. That's quite a lot of challenge. In a foreign country. I couldn't ring my mates up and say, could you? I just am going through a bit of a tough time. I had to go to Jesus. And you know what? I started to give thanks. And during Thanksgiving, I started to laugh. It's like joy. I kind of took the lid off with, Father, thank you that you're my provider. Thank you that even though this bed has lost a leg, I can think about kind of squaring it up. You'll give me a few books to put under it. I thank you that even though this woman doesn't seem to want me, I thank you, you do. I thank you that even though I've come to serve you in a local church out in Washington, D.C., where they're all rich, they're all politicians, they were rich in that church, I got nothing. So I thank you that you will make sure that I get provided for. And I powered my way out of negative emotions. First thing that happened to me was my soul got healed. And then I began to see there were people didn't know my circumstances, invite me out for a meal. Praise the Lord, I'm eating. I'm thankful. Yeah. You see, you've got to learn to be thankful before you get it. And then when you get not everything, you still give thanks. Yeah. You don't go, is that it, Lord? You just give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. And I powered my way through a very testing year in America. And actually, I left with lots. I came back with new outfits, went shopping. I just saw the blessing of God on my life. It didn't come through the normal channels. It came. God made sure of it, that I saw provision throughout that year. I know what it is to give thanks when you're lonely, isolated, got nothing at all to help your soul or your circumstances. Give thanks and it will empower you out of that time and into the blessings of God. Amen. So we have a choice. When things aren't good, when you're disappointed, when you're let down, because in our lives there isn't, this week I have been let down. This week I have faced challenges. What am I going to do? I will give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I know some of you have hit a crisis this week in your family. I know one particular. Give thanks to the Lord, because He is good. You see, the devil wants to annihilate and stop your blessings by getting your mouth negative, getting your emotions, responding to what's going on, and taking your focus off Jesus. So it doesn't matter what's going on, the way out is thanksgiving and praise, actually. I have a choice. It's like standing on a road. Every day I have a path, a choice. Okay, every day I wake up, I have a choice. If you imagine, the right turn is the path of thanksgiving. The left turn is a path of I'm sad, I'm disappointed, poor me, it never happens for me, and isn't my life tough? And I wish it was like it used to be, or I wish it was like it could be, or I wish it was like their life, or I wish, I wish, I wish. And if I turn left, saying all those and agreeing with all those negative things, I will end up down the wrong road. But a Thanksgiving road will bring me into every good thing that God has for my life. Turn your day around with thanksgiving. Turn your relationships around with thanksgiving. Turn your children around with thanksgiving. Come on. Turn the culture we live in around with thanksgiving. I'll get that to that later. Because we are here to turn the world around and to bring the blessing of God into the world. Giving thanks operates the law of sowing and reaping. Okay, there's a spiritual law that will happen whether you're an unbeliever or a believer. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Okay, so whatever you sow, whatever you give in your words, you give financially, you give with time, whatever you do in terms of relationships, whatever you sow, you will reap. There will be a consequence. There will be something that will come back. And I believe we can see this law of increase happen with thanksgiving. That we can see increase in many things. When I give my offering and my tithes, I thank God. And as I give thanks, there's the law of increase going to take place. Thank you, Jesus. I'm expecting more back. Because I'm sowing, I will reap. I'm not just sowing, I will reap. That's a law. It's a spiritual law that governs everything. And it will turn around an emotional damaged person. It will change your emotional life. I believe Jesus wants us healed, but as we give, it will be given. Give thanks, and it will be given. And if we are tempted to say the wrong thing, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're tempted to be unthankful, we actually cause the life to be grieved in us. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can grieve the Holy Spirit with unthankfulness. So thanksgiving releases the Holy Spirit over your life. And you stay free, you're healed, you're whole. Your circumstances, what people do to you, cannot define what happens in you. You need to take charge of your emotional life and give thanks. And as you take charge, I believe that, as has been my experience, healing will flow. Restoration will come. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in Proverbs 3, some of you will know this verse off by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So we start with trust. When our circumstances are all over the place, things are going wrong, God says, trust. Whatever the time, whatever the season, trust God with all your heart. Don't lean on your assessment of your life, what you think is going to happen or happening. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, I don't know a better way of acknowledging God than thanking him at all times. Because if I'm on my own walking down the street and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for just the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk. Thank you that for a moment I'm out of an office or out of a meeting and I'm walking. And I start to give thanks. I'm acknowledging that he's here. If I don't thank him, it's almost like I just come to on Sundays, he's here. But I live with Jesus and he lives in me. And so when I walk around my house, I say, thank you, Jesus. If I'm washing up, I say, thank you, Jesus. I've made it a habit. It's a continuous thing I do. Because what it does, it's connecting me with the truth. That God is here. And because he's here, I'm thankful. just as Jacob with a ladder. He said, God is in this place. This is an awesome place. And basically what happens with that is you're connecting with the unseen and allowing God to intervene in the here and now. So just simply thanking God that he is here, that you will never leave me or forsake me, actually connects my heart and keeps me relationally connected with Jesus through the day. Amen. Amen. Just thank the Lord now that he's here. That he lives in you. That his spirit is in you. That he didn't spare his son. But he gave you all things. And as you give thanks, it's like you're aware of God, aren't you? It manifests his presence. The word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So in other words, you come into his presence with thanks. Hello? His blood has made a way. It's not self-effort. He did it. But giving thanks enables me to enter with a right attitude to who he is and what he's done for me. I am eternally grateful that I am saved. I am not going to hell. Amen. Yes. I only need that one thought, yes, and I will thank him. Yes. Yes. And I could thank him all day. Yes. I'm not going to hell. I've been rescued. Yes. Not only that, I'm a son. I'm a child of God. Yes. A joint heir with Christ. I am so thankful. I've got a rich inheritance. I'm blessed with every blessing in Christ. I'm so thankful. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging him. I'm not acknowledging him in all my ways. I'm acknowledging every good thing that is in me in Christ. I have so much good in me. And you've got so much good in you. Christ in you. But the more you thank him that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a gift of righteousness. Thank you, you've given me your righteousness. The more you will experience the reality of being a new person in Christ. And you will experience the life of the Spirit. I think some people, you know, we stop thanking him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're kind of like, are you saved? Yes. Did you get baptized with the Spirit? Yes, 20 years ago. Good. Did you speak in tongues? Yes, just the once. And it's like, I believe that we need to be thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you know, if you thank God that he has anointed you, it releases your faith. Yeah. Do you know, before I come and preach, I thank God he's anointed me. I don't come in going, I wonder if I'm anointed today. I believe he's anointed me. And I believe you're anointed to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. Thank him that you're anointed. Yes. And the more you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the more that you will see the power of the Holy Spirit work. Because it activates your faith in the presence of the Lord in the here and now. So as you stand before a challenging situation, thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit in me will meet the need. That I have all I need in Jesus. And somehow, some way, you're going to do it. So I thank you. I give thanks to the Lord. Even for the challenges. Because I know he will help me to overcome them. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I as a child, my dad used to like sailing. And used to take us all sailing. So, you know, when a parent likes doing something, often the kids do. Question mark. But, you know, we all had to do what the parents did, and which is right. But actually, you know, we used to, there's a lot of training that can go on in sailing. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen relationally, for good and for challenges. When your brother sort of turns the boat too quick and you sink, it's challenging to say, sorry, you know, we're out in the water and it wasn't nice. But anyway, there is a term that people use in their lives, but it's to do with kind of sailing or I think boating, whatever, sailing, I think. And it's called the doldrums. Have you ever heard somebody's in the doldrums? Generally means that they're a bit low, they're a bit down. And it means a place of inactivity. It's actually near the equator where not much wind happens, not much is happening. And I believe that if a believer, even if you're in the doldrums, if you start to give thanks, the wind of the Spirit will catch your sail and you will come out of that. He will direct your path. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. So give thanks. It's not thanks for the negative thing. So if I have a sickness or in my body, if I have something wrong with my leg or something, I'm not going to thank God that I'm sick. Because sickness is not the will of God. Jesus died and suffered on the cross and He took our pains and our suffering on Himself, our sicknesses upon Him. So it's obviously not the will of God if Jesus died for it. It's the will of God that I am well. So what do I thank God for when I'm sick? I thank God that Jesus took my sickness. And I start to thank Him that He has already released healing. And that I have healing in my spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I will thank Him that that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to my mortal body. And His life, wherever His life flows, there's healing. In my soul and in my body. So I thank God for healing. So I never thank Him for sickness. I never thank Him for something the enemy's doing. I don't believe that we need to thank God for anything bad because God cannot give anything bad. I want you to really know this. Never, ever, ever, ever think anything bad is from God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We need to make a clear thinking. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness. So when bad stuff happens, don't say, God gave this to me. He cannot give anything bad. He doesn't have anything bad to give. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of lights, from whom there is no shadow of turning. He never changes. So when a child we prayed for dies, this morning we prayed for that family. You and I need to know the church is the pillar and ground of truth. You and I need to communicate what's true because the world don't know. But we know God is good. And we know God does not take children. He doesn't bring suffering on humanity. He brings healing. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed. And then He tells us where the oppression was from the devil. And so we must never blame God for the bad things. We must keep this goodness foundation because that's why we are thankful, because God is always good. He's good in my challenging times. He's good when things aren't perfect in my life. He is good all the time. I cannot stop saying God is good because He is good. And the more I thank Him for it, the more I set my sail to the wind and the Holy Spirit blows and I get healed out of that time. I get repurposed out of that time. I get God's vision out of my life. No man can steal the destiny of God out of my life. I will praise Him. I will thank Him. I won't be subject to my circumstances. I am subject to God. And His goodness. We must root out this negativity. This, God did that because He must be trying me. God doesn't test people with evil. He can't. And I think we need to have this standard raised of the church. Why do we give thanks? Not because of bad things happening, but because God is good and He will bring good out of difficult bad things. He's the good bringer. He's the good giver. He is the generous, wonderful Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. We will not stop giving thanks to the Lord. And you know what happens if you start to give thanks? The devil gets smaller and God gets bigger. In your thinking, I mean, God cannot be bigger than He is. But in your thinking and your mind, you begin to put Him back on the throne and say, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. I will not say that anything else is leading my life. Jesus is Lord of my life. And I will give thanks at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. And I take my focus of what the devil's doing and I look at You. I say, You are good. I give thanks that You didn't spare Your Son, but You will graciously give all things.
Amen.
Thank You, Jesus. Just a little bit of a diversion. Romans 8. No, sorry, Romans 1. Because I just want to, inspire you to thanksgiving. I want you to take charge of your emotional life, your mental life, and give thanks. And I want you to kind of power your life in the Spirit through thanksgiving. I believe the gifts of the Spirit will be manifest if you thank God for them. Because we live by faith, don't we? And not by sight. Okay. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read now that there is a high price for being unthankful. Okay? I'm putting the other side of the coin out. Is that all right? Just for a moment. There is a high price to pay for being unthankful. Let's read Romans 1 verse 18. The wrath of God, that's the anger of God, is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Wow. God says, you just need to look at creation. You have no excuse to say that God doesn't exist. God says everybody is without excuse. There is a God. He is the creator. And actually all the invisible things, the visible things of creation that we see, the mountains, children, when a child is born, we're saying miracle. We're saying look at the sun, look at the stars, miracle. We're saying look at spring. It's a miracle. So even those walking out there shopping today, at one level, are without excuse. But Jesus came to reveal even more about God. And that's what we're here to do. Not to judge them, but to bring the revelation of God's goodness to them. But this is the balance of understanding that actually people suppress the truth with their pride. With the pride of man. They say God doesn't exist. It's pride. And I actually will take you all the way to hell. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any man perish, but all come to a knowledge of truth. That's Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. Ooh. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, so they knew God by creation, but they refused to glorify Him and give thanks to Him. Their thinking became futile. These are the consequences of being unthankful. Your thinking gets futile and you end up very, very, very much in a dark place. And actually that leads, if you carry on, we're not going to do it now because it's a pretty gruesome chapter, that leads to all kinds of sin. And it leads to incredible darkness. And God says it starts with not glorifying him and not giving thanks. So what are the consequences of being unthankful? You get a mind that gets futile. You become purposeless. You kind of like wander around wondering what you're doing with your life. You'll try anything. You lose the divine purpose of God for your life. Thanksgiving connects you to that purpose. Being unthankful, you'll lose that purpose. And then you will get dark in your heart. You will stop losing. You'll lose the revelation of who God is. So I need to know that thanksgiving is powerful to connect me to destiny. But being unthankful can actually lead me off on a path which could lead to real futility and darkness. Ooh. And so we see that there is another side to not giving thanks. And for us, our perspective, the way we look at life, must be that God is good. He's given everything good. And so I have no reason, no matter what the time, whatever the season, no reason but to give thanks now. Not wait till tomorrow. Not wait till I get better. I'm going to thank him now. Because I'm going to connect myself to his good will for my life. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's such an important thing that we understand that our children need to be taught to give thanks. I know that many of you have raised children, and there are some here who will raise children. But there are also teachers here. There are people who are influencing other family lives, your brothers, your sisters who've got kids. We need to understand that being unthankful is not a good path to go on. And we need to train children to be thankful, because this is going to connect them to the purpose of God for their lives. It requires a training, doesn't it? Like I said earlier, if you cook a meal for somebody, say thank you. Not, well, you're my wife, it's what you should be doing. Or, yeah, but it goes on, guys. It goes on. Or, you're my mother, it's what you should do. It's my right. Jesus could have said, it's my right. But he said, he gave up all rights. And we'll see in a moment what he gave thanks for. But he gave thanks. The Son of God in the earth gave thanks. How humble is that? And so I believe we need to train a whole generation in thanksgiving. I believe we need to be thankful for the teachers at school. And train our children to be thankful. We're not in the sue game, the blame game. We're not in the critical blame game. We're not here to tear everybody down and to play the rebellion of the world that is out to say all authority needs to come down. We need to be thankful for our teachers. We need to train our children to thank them. Okay, if they're being bullied, we need to change it. But our kids, we mustn't side with them over authority. We need to train them to be thankful that this is where God has you for now, so be thankful. And therefore, train the parents in a working situation which isn't brilliant, be thankful. If the kids are going to get it doing it, so have the adults, guys. In fact, we need to model it. So we come home, we're not complaining about our boss and saying, I don't like my job, and I don't like this, and I wish I had a pay rise, and you should have heard what they said to me, and the kids are going, I can do that when I come home from school. We need to model, well, I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful that God graces me to overcome the challenges. And I'm going to pray for my boss with thanksgiving. In fact, Timothy says, pray for all men everywhere, That would include women. All people everywhere with thanksgiving. Pray for Cameron with thanksgiving. Pray for the council with thanksgiving. Pray for your neighbors with thanksgiving. I believe that our children's workers here should be the most encouraged children's workers. Because the parents and the children say thank you. These guys volunteer. They give their time. They pray. They seek God. Say thank you. These guys, twice a month, they have practices so that we can encounter God. Give thanks. These guys on the door, they're out there and they're saying, welcome, thank them. These guys who serve, set up church, do all the things, your pastors, all of us, be thankful. Let's change the culture from taking to giving. Let's turn the ship around. Let's change the way we do church. Let's come in with thankful hearts to thank God and thank you. We thank God for visitors. We love you. Thank you for being with us today. We are preparing for many more. And so we need to make room of the right culture in this church that is thankful to God and thankful to people. You don't go to a restaurant, or I hope you don't, and get served and not say thank you. If you get an opportunity, it's such a good meal, see the chef. I don't know, there's sometimes, and Sandra, I think, said it this week. You're sometimes saying thank you to a person for doing something that every day we have grueling tasks to do. How many of you have a task to do that you don't find that easy? Yeah. Okay. Isn't it fantastic when somebody thanks you? It gives you the strength to go on. It says, I'm not going to give up then because somebody's grateful that I'm sowing my life here in this way. You see, I believe that this message needs to be a transforming message. I believe this will change the culture you live in. You'll live in the environment of the Spirit personally. But I believe as a church, we need to raise our game. And I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up to thankfulness. Don't miss an opportunity to if you've received something from God, you need to be thankful. Just because it's my job. Just because it's a doctor's job. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for doing all those years of study so that you would have the wisdom to solve these issues. Thank you for preparing for the best lesson for my kids because I want my kids to be in the best place. Thank you for Habitat. Thank you for serving. Thank you for doing what you did. And you know, when you come back with thanksgiving, do you know what happens? You get more. It's like the leper that returned, the only one. There were 10 healed, one came back. And he got even more because you get more when you give thanks. You get more blessed. It's more blessed to give. So be a giver. Come out of yourself. Come out of your kind of limitations and start to project a different lifestyle and begin to see what God will do. Jesus gave thanks. I'm going to finish with this. And okay, not too bad. It's not too bad. I know it's warm in here, isn't it? See, the people at the back say they're cold. Most of these people are warm and I'm hot. But I'm giving thanks. Yay. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6. We just finished with this. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ. We had a celebration. I don't know. I just love. We're going to miss the Barlings so much. We had a celebration meal as a team with them. Pastor Andrea, David, San and I. And on Friday night, didn't we have a brilliant night? We had a brilliant night. And we're going to have a chance, we'll announce it at the end of the meeting, to celebrate them as a church. But, you know, we just wanted to do the best we could and, you know, give the best we could, and because they've given the best to us. And we didn't want to make it sad. We wanted to make it a celebration, because that's what we want, isn't it? That's what they want too. But anyway, I'm studying upstairs in my office. There's a knock on the door, and I'm like, take my glasses off, run down, get downstairs. And Pastor Michael's there. June's waiting outside in the car. Bunch of flowers. We want to thank you. And I just thought, see, what's that creating? When somebody comes back to a faith group leader and says, thank you, what does that create? It creates a more kind of open relationship. It creates like, gosh. And so when they gave us the flowers, I was like, thank you. We're so grateful. They showed their gratitude. And we showed ours. And imagine what could spread with thanksgiving and acts of kindness. This kind of thing that's going on. It's this. We need to create this culture, guys. Because it's really the environment of heaven is released. Jesus gave thanks in Mark chapter 6. You know, when Jesus tried to get away from the people into a solitary place, oh, so many people followed him because they wanted to be with him. They knew he had what they needed. And he had compassion on them. And he says to his disciples, it's a late and it's a remote place. He says, send the people. The disciples said, send the people away. They need to eat. They've been with us too long. And Jesus in verse 37 of chapter 6 says to the disciples, you give them something to eat. It's amazing how often before we see miracles, Jesus says, you give. You know, we think, God, give. We need a miracle. He says, you give. Isn't that interesting? It's because it's seed faith. You start to move in faith, and then God is attracted by what you're giving. It's good, isn't it? So you give them something to eat. And they said to him, take 8 months. Man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much amount of bread and give them to eat? How many of those do you have? He said, go and see. So it's always, what do you have to give? Not what you don't have. What have you got that you can give? Everybody's got a mouth here and a voice to say thanks. It's not a difficult message this morning, although we will be moving into the offering. So, what do you have to give? They found out 5 loaves, 2 fish. They must have done it with a smile. We've got 5. That's it. It's all we've got. Not going to happen, is it, Jesus? Jesus said, get the people sitting down in order. And verse 41, let's home in on this. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, the little that they had, he took it. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. Okay, just let's look at that verse. Isn't it wonderful? He took the little that was given him. And he looked up, not at the lack, at plenty. Heaven's here and there's plenty. He was living adjusted to plenty, not lack. He had the right focus. And because he looked up at heaven, he could give thanks. Wow, thanks. When we look to Jesus and what he has, it's thanks. When we look at what we don't have, it's, oh no, we haven't got enough. Stop whining and look up. Look up. Look up to heaven. Look to Jesus. And he looked up and the Son of God over this boy's offering gives thanks. It's just amazing. The power of thanksgiving. He spoke thanksgiving over the little. With a heart that was looking to heaven, he said, thank you, Father. And he broke it and he distributed. He started the multiplication by giving it out again. And the disciples continued to give. And they began to give. Everybody began to give. All the disciples began to give. Go out and give. Go out and give. And what happened? Everybody was fed and there were leftovers. Thanksgiving changes things into leftovers.
Amen.
To the more than enough. To plenty and extras. I'm a firm believer if you've received a measure of healing, you just carry on giving thanks. Because you know what? You'll have leftovers so that you can go and heal others with the faith that you have received in that time. You give thanks even before you see the change. Because when we stand praying, we receive what we ask for. And so therefore we thank God that we have what God said. Thanksgiving propels you into faith, into the life of the Spirit, and into the supernatural dimension of miracles. Jesus gave thanks. I believe that thanksgiving has power. Keep me and you healthy. No matter what people are doing to you, whatever is happening to you, it'll keep you healthy. Keep your mind healthy. Keep your body healthy. You'll look up to heaven and give thanks like Jesus. And say, Lord, even though it doesn't look like I've got it, I thank you that heaven supply is here. And you graciously give all things, not just your son, but everything that I need, so that I can distribute the plenty to others. I'm going to be a receiver, a giver, a receiver, a giver, and go out and give and receive and see this whole generous cycle that God began when he gave his son. Amen. We're in a move of generosity. You do understand that. And it starts with this thanksgiving for what Jesus has done. And we begin to see the multiplication of whatever we have as we break what God gives us and give thanks. We must be thankful for each other. Thankful that we're together in the Lord. Thankful that we've got a lot of journey past and a lot of journey in the future. And that many people will join us and we are thankful.
Amen.
We're thankful for every soul saved.
Amen.
We're thankful for every miracle of healing. We must give thanks. There's so much to thank him for. Okay. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.